And we'd like to call this meeting to order. If we could call the roll, please.
Director Canavi.
Here.
Director Ruby Thomas.
Here.
And Chair Weezer.
Here.
Board is present.
Thank you very much. If we could start on item 49, and then we'll go to 52 and 56, and then we'll take the remaining items. We have some time limitations today. We want to make sure those items that need action, that we cover them. So if we could keep that in mind in our presentations. Thank you.
Acknowledged, and we'll move smartly through my report. Customer complaints for the month of August were 2.78, a slight decrease over July, and also year-to-year a decrease. The bus operator assignment ratio increased to 1.202 over July. You note that we did increase the target. And the importance on this measure, again, is it allows us to reduce reliance on overtime. The rail operator assignment ratio decreased slightly from July, but increased 2% year over year. I'd make the note that we're currently preparing for the start of Expo operations, and hiring is in process. And the number of operators will continue fluctuating through the opening of the line. We're on target with budget for fare revenues. August year-to-date actuals slightly less than the year-to-date budget. August average weekday boardings decreased slightly, decreased over July by less than 1%. Historically, during the summer months of June, July, and August, schools are out, people are on vacation, and therefore ridership is lower. It typically picks back up in September. For rail, average weekday boardings also decreased, but this is actually a 5% increase year over year. We continue working hard on improving on-time performance. This month gets us very close to our prior goal of 80%, but I'll remind you that we did increase the goal from 80 to 85%, so we do have some additional work to do. We continue focusing on decreasing the number of buses running hot, and the note there is we're under 4% on for July. This just provides a historical perspective. We're up 14 percentage points since FY06. Continues to be a good news story. Cleanliness, and again, this is more than just cleaning. It also involves material condition. The goal is 8.0. System-wide, for August, we were at 8.25, an increase from July and slightly over, the target. We still have a couple divisions that haven't quite reached the goal, and we continue working with them to get them to 8.0. Accidents per 100,000 hub miles increased this month by 10% to 3.61. The spike in accidents is attributed primarily to side swipes on several main corridors, particularly La Brea, Florence, and Crenshaw. Another measure we report on every month, the mean miles between mechanical failures. A slight increase up from the prior month. And subject to any questions, that completes my presentation.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments from the board? No? Public comment, John Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. I'd also like to bring up near misses. I can't tell you how good the operators are on the bus lines. A month does not go by where we don't have a near miss. And it's always the same thing. It's cars pulling into the bus lane from being parked. I'm talking about inches. inches between people being killed, and the reason we aren't killed or harmed is because of the high level of the bus operators. And you're right, the accidents are usually 98% of them caused by the automobiles. HollywoodHighlands.org, send us your documents, email us your documents, that will put some of these people in jail at MTA, HollywoodDems@gmail.com. HollywoodDems@gmail.com. Our website, global ranking, is 425,000, which means out of the top 10 million websites in the world, we're at 425,000.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. If we could jump to item 52 and take those items beginning with 52, they're action items, and as I mentioned, we have some time limitations. We want to make sure we get those items through.
You want 52 first.
You want 52 first?
Yes, please.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair, Board members. I'm Duane Martin, Deputy Executive Officer of the Metro. Before you on item 52 is the request to approve our recommendation to authorize the Chief Executive Officer to execute modification number 6 to the Sheriff's current contract to provide law enforcement services for a period covering November 1st through the rest of the fiscal year in the amount of $57,580. To amend the FY12 budget to add additional security officers, amend the FY12 budget, the cost center, system security and law enforcement in the amount of $16 million. That's the total amount of the monies needed to cover the contract. That includes a $1.5 million capital fund for Expo. And amend the budget for cost center 2610, system security and law enforcement, the amount of $300,000 for mandatory training that's required in special event overtime for transit security. In order to effectively police the transit system and protect it from potential terrorist attacks, TSB created an innovative crime-fighting strategy based on several core functions, the daily deployments based upon those functions, and common threats associated with transit policing. The core functions include the crime prevention, deterrence, quality of life issues, incident response, problem solving, and counterterrorism. To achieve this level, TSB will sustain a high visibility presence and intelligence-led policing to ensure this high level of customer service. TSB conducted a very comprehensive zero-based operating staff report, budget staff report, to gauge the staffing requirements for further service demands, and the staffing report provided a thorough analysis of TSB's demand for service, some of which are highlighted below and the commander's going to talk about in his report. Year-to-date, there's been over 100,000 citations on the system. Over 10,000 arrests have been made. 50,000 calls for service to the Sheriff's Department. Our Detective Bureau currently has over 4,100 active cases open. The Special Problems Units made 491 arrests and recovered $1.2 million in graffiti damages, along with effectively redeploying that group to assist with the issues and the problems that we had with the illegal vendors on the Blue Line, which I'm glad to say I think they got a pretty good handle on. In addition to that, the opening of the Expo line is coming up as 29 additional deputies and 24 additional SAs that are absolutely critical that we have those numbers out there. That only figures out to about 4.5 deputies per shift on a 7-day event with 8 additional trains. And that additional, like I mentioned before, $1.6 million capital costs is included in this proposal. With that, I'd like to thank you for your time and appreciate your consideration. The staff recommends this proposal in front of you.
Mr. Cannavi, Board Member Cannavi.
Supervisor Ridley Thomas and I, as well as O'Connor, have an amendment to this item as it relates to the Silver Line. The safety and security of our Metro customers should be the Board's number one priority, as we all know, and currently our Metro facilities and services along the Harbor Transitway corridor, such as the Silver Line, are not proactively monitored through our current law enforcement services contract. There is no dedicated patrol of the Silver Line. This situation is unacceptable and needs to be remedied as soon as possible. The Harbor Transitway stations and the associated bus stops would benefit greatly from dedicated law enforcement services. We understand that Metro has been discussing security and law enforcement needs along this particular area and this corridor with the Sheriff's Department. It includes identifying other improvements needed at facilities such as cameras at our Harmert Transway station stops to enhance the safety of our patrons. So we therefore move that the board direct the CEO to work with the Sheriff's Department to identify and include the appropriate dedicated law enforcement positions and capital requirements for Harbor Transway Law Enforcement Services in the proposed law enforcement services contract modification that's before us for consideration by the full board at the October 2011 Metro Board meeting. That would be our motion.
Second, I have Mr. Ridley Thomas. And anything else, Mr. Knabe?
No, that do I think.
Board Member Ridley Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate Supervisor or Director Kanabe's introducing this motion, and I'm pleased to be joining with him in the effort to bring not simply safety but equity to the equation with respect to the Silver Lion. About a year ago, my staff, that is my personal staff, and MTA staff took a very careful tour of the line in question and found it to be wanting, to put it mildly. Therefore, it makes good sense to me that we move forward with the observations made by the sheriff in item number 52, but I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that the motion that we are introducing by way of amendment will enhance this substantially. Along those lines, I want to ask of the sheriff a couple of questions, the first of which is the data that's been provided speaks to the Rosa Parks station and makes it clear that it has among the highest of crime in the metro system. Am I correct on that point?
You are correct. As our rail lines go, the Blue Line has the highest level of Part 1 crimes on the system. Imperial Park, Imperial Pax is where we have a dedicated team on the Wilmington station, meaning topside on the Green Line. And then we have regular people deployed on the Blue Line itself. So we have regular staffing. So part of the crime is driven by the activities of deputies, meaning we're detecting more crime, which means it's there and we're detecting it. But, yeah, I would concur with that. That's one of our highest incidence areas.
In that connection, then, is there a particular plan to address the high levels of crime that is being detected? And the ancillary question would be the current master planning that's underway, to what extent is this taken into consideration for the purpose of ensuring a higher level of safety? It may be the case that the plan as it ought to be articulated is not prepared at this point in terms of your being able to speak to it in any degree of detail or specificity. But let the record reflect that I would certainly hope that by the time this comes to the board, such a plan could be shared with us if it is not currently in existence.
Are you talking about the board next week, talking about Imperial Pax, having information for that?
Specifically the Rosa Parks station.
Okay. Let me tell you some of the things that are going on at Rosa Parks and some of the things that we would like to do, and part of it is related to this request. Is you've already voted on automated license plate reader project. The parking lots would get those cameras in the next 12 to 18 months. That project is already kicked off. I've secured some additional Homeland Security grant money for CCTV cameras. We've done an assessment of Rosa Parks station as it exists now and have identified locations where we would want to put these CCTV cameras. One of the requests in this budget request is for 8 security officers for a video monitoring center. Currently, you don't have any just law enforcement or security folks monitoring the cameras on a day-to-day basis. By including this in the proposal, what it allow me to do is, where I don't have staff on the stations, I can have people monitoring those cameras that we put in place. Right now, you only have cameras on the platforms. We need to put cameras throughout the complex, which is what we want to do, and then have them monitored actively by security personnel that are trained by deputy sheriffs on what to look for and where to look for them and when to look for it. We're also, obviously, we're asking for more personnel for the blue line and green lines, and some of that staff would allow us to maintain a presence at that facility 24 hours. Right now, during the entire hours of operation, right now we do have staff there during the entire 24-hour or 22 hours of operations, but occasionally we do have to pull them off. We would want to maintain dedicated staffing there throughout the hours of operation.
Supervisor Thomas, let me add that when the master plan design comes back that you're speaking of, when that comes back to the full board, I guarantee you that the security efforts that are going to be scrutinized in that plan, we will be at the table to make sure that all the things that the commander has mentioned, as well as lighting and wayfinding and things, are addressed as well from a security standpoint.
May I suggest or request that in addition to the plan pursuant to the master planning process, that we have the benefit of a direct conversation with my staff and yourselves, but more to the point. Your remarks talked pretty generically about what you thought needed to be done to manage the circumstances at the Rosa Park station. To my way of thinking, that doesn't quite elevate itself to a plan in the sense of what I would hope to hear. So if you would, Commander, take an opportunity to speak with my staff, perhaps you can get a better sense of what our concerns might be, and we'd be greatly appreciative on that point.
Absolutely.
And we have been in contact with your staff, sir.
All right. The second question, Mr. Chairman, is related to sectors 5 and 6. Again, Sector 6 reporting the highest levels of crime and calls for service. When you juxtapose that with the other sectors, say Sector 5 in particular, there is a bit of a disparity. And is that disparity consistent with the deployment that is afforded in each instance? So if we looked at the numbers for 5, if we look at the numbers for 6 as an example, how do they stack up, and how then is the deployment considerations, how are they then made?
You're talking about the bus sectors. Basically, we look at several operations, several things, but for the bus sectors, it's a lot of geography that they have to cover. So a basic bus sector will have one-person deputy cars in each sector spread out throughout the sector so that we can get to any calls in a timely fashion. Our biggest challenge covering 1,400 square miles is response times. And to achieve our goal of 10 minutes or less on emergent calls, that's our first starting point. The second thing that we take into consideration is call load. I think one of those sectors you talk about is Central City. Central City has approximately 5 to 6 people on during the days and PMs, but they represent almost all the bus sectors feed into the Central City area. So buses coming from Gateway City, buses coming from South Bay, all feed into the Central City. 50% of our calls for service on the bus side occur downtown. Approximately 50% of our Part 1 crimes involving the buses also occur downtown. For that, and the density of downtown and the west side, we use motors. The motors get around a lot quicker, so it allows us to maintain a quick response time to get to those calls. most of those calls are not necessarily serious crime. They're low-level crimes that don't require us to take people to jail, but they are calls for service and require activity. In terms of what that does allow is those sectors that have the basic staffing of law enforcement, if they have a low call load, they do have the ability to fill up their day with productive activity. So some teams gel a little better than others and make more arrests. The San Fernando Valley, for example, has more bus lines than the San Gabriel Valley, so they also have more opportunity to make some of those arrests.
Well, I'm noticing in Sector 6 Central, as you referred to it, has the highest level of reported crime, some 1,153, and yet Sector 5 has the highest rate of arrest, somewhere in the area of 719. So the question I think you may have already sought to address, are you suggesting to the board that the infractions or crimes committed in Sector 6 are not as serious as the crimes in Sector 5, thus not necessitating arrest? Or if that isn't what you're saying, how do you reconcile high crime rates, high calls, and yet the highest, that is, and yet not high or the highest arrest rates? It would seem to me there will be a correlation that isn't stacking up here.
The San Fernando Valley team, which I believe is the Sector 5, they tend to gel as a team. They tend to make more arrests. Most of the arrests that they make out there, 50% of them are warrant arrests for 640 warrants.
So let me just cause you to pause for a second there. So the different teams to which you refer have different priorities, different styles of
different police. Challenges is probably the best way to say it. San Fernando Valley has a lot of geography to cover.
You said that earlier.
And but downtown has is much denser, has a higher level activity. So
wouldn't it make sense then that the arrest rate might be as high, or no? This is the thing that's a bit baffling.
Well, you're looking at numbers that ended July 1. Our arrests have gone up from 9,000 that time, last 2010, to we're looking at hitting 2012 now. We've refined the missions for all of our bus sectors, so we're seeing our arrests go up across the board. The San Fernando Valley, I have a very good team out there that's well led, and they're higher producers than the rest of my teams that operate in the system. I don't want to denigrate my Central City team, though. They faced different challenges, higher call loads, difficulty getting around, so they're not able to ride the buses as much as the guys in the San Fernando Valley because they're responding more to calls. The downtown sector guy does, they do get supported by rail cars that are in the area to help support them in their mission.
Commander, I could interpret that to mean, and perhaps this is not a correct interpretation or inference, that given the challenges that you suggest that your team, the central team, that is Sector 6 team, and I stipulate, as have you, that there's no attempt to denigrate anyone here. We're just trying to get to the bottom of this. It could cause for a less safe environment owing to the challenges to which you refer, particularly if the arrests are not being made as aggressively, therefore leaving those who are violators in the environment. It seems to me that's a very legitimate interpretation to walk away with.
Let me clarify that, because I think you can look at that if you break it out in just each sector, but your system is interconnected. Somebody that rides in the valley will ride downtown. Somebody that rides on the rails will ride the buses. So each location presents us an opportunity to remove them from the system.
Yeah.
So if we remove them from the system in the San Fernando Valley and they don't end up downtown, it's just as productive. So.
All right, to be continued. I don't want to belabor the point, but these data do give us some concern. So let's have a follow-up conversation.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Director Ridley Thomas. And a couple of follow-ups on my end. I'm just going to request if we could have this information by the next board meeting. Let me know if you can't. There's been a previous request to show crime incidents specific to the city of Los Angeles versus the county. If that information could be made available at the next board meeting. Secondly, regarding page 11 of your letter back to the mayor of Los Angeles, can you please provide background info on your in-process status and when these items will go to full board for approval? We just need a timeline for those items on page 11 of your letter back to the mayor, and if we could get a timeline attached to that so we know when the in-process, we could kind of foresee when those items would get to the full board. Thank you very much. And there was one public comment. Thank you, Mr. Walsh, for reminding me. Item number 52, John Walsh.
The sheriffs are doing an excellent job of fighting crime. Let's remember there's 300,000 boardings every day. In other words, 300,000 is almost half the size of the city of San Francisco. 300,000 people. Plus, when you said city versus county, we know 50% is just a few square miles downtown, so it's overwhelmingly city crime. It has to be. It's 50% just this tiny area. And what hampers the sheriffs is your obsession with fare evaders. You know, nobody ever got beaten up or killed by fare evaders. I must say you do catch some of them with outstanding warrants. You're doing an excellent job catching people with outstanding warrants. But we need people going in there and getting the violent crime. And we still want to know, Mr. Gene Sims was arrested 2 months ago, and he still hasn't been charged with the stabbing. He is about as guilty as my mother of stabbing the person at Hollywood and Highland, but the Hollywood and Vine. But still, we don't know who did the stabbing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Walsh. This item, as amended, is there a motion to approve?
Move it.
Second.
So moved by Director Ridley Thomas, second by Director Kanabe. So ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, if it's okay, we could take item number 53 and 54 for approval, and we'll take those together in the interest of time. That's the 53 is a rail car brake system contract, and 54 is a gasoline contract.
Move recommendation.
Second.
Moved by Director Kanabe, second by Director Ridley Thomas. So ordered. On item number 55, I don't think we need a presentation, but if I could ask staff to report back to this committee in December, is that sufficient time? Okay, January? Okay, January?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll see that item back in committee in January with a report, with a full report, correct? Okay, because today was scheduled for verbal, but if we get a full written report on
sure.
that. Okay. Thank you very much. We don't need action on that, I believe. So next item, 56.
Conan Chung will be providing it.
We may lose quorum in about 5 minutes. If we could keep that in mind as we try
sure.
to move this action item forward. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon. Conan Chung, DEO Service Development. In August, the board passed a motion on customer-oriented integrated bus service enhancements and innovation. Each one of these elements, there's six elements included in the motion. Each one of those elements is managed by a different project manager from various departments within Metro. What this board report strives to do is provide a quick summary on all of these elements. I won't go into detail due to the interest of time, but just wanted to point out that on number one, maintaining bus revenue service hours, at the FY12 level, we are currently doing that. We do not propose any sort of service reductions for December 2011. As far as the TAP program, I believe the board received a report last month on that, so I won't go over that. In terms of regularly monitoring passenger loads and on-time performance, I think this is a critical element, and the service planning and scheduling staff, along with transportation staff, continue to do that, and we put out immediate fixes when we need to, and then provide more permanent solutions during the service changes. As far as it relates to appointing an internal compliance manager, we do have an item on this agenda to cover that piece, so I won't go into detail on that. And as far as identifying a minimum of 5 corridors for future BRT projects, I believe that report was provided to the board yesterday as part of the Planning and Programming Committee meeting. And that concludes my presentation.
Great. Thank you very much. I believe there's been a motion by Directors Najarian and Wezar that's been circulated. It moves that item 56 be bifurcated to exclude the TAP portion of the report, that the TAP update portion be forwarded to the full board on October 27, 2011 for discussion and include in the attached matrix prepared utilizing correct data and status from all municipal operators. So that
can you explain the motion? I mean, what is the purpose of bifurcation? Because I thought it was just a receive and file.
Yeah, I think what Mr. Najarian wanted to do is to get a fuller explanation on the TAP program and some information as attached to the
the whole motion. Item's going to go anyway, right, to the board?
It'd go to the board, but it wouldn't go to the board. So that's right, to receive, right? To receive. So what?
Something comes to a committee, and the item's to receive and file. It's never to see the light of day again.
Is this procedure proper to? Let me ask our.
And I would think even if it's a committee receiving file, it goes full board. I mean, what's the purpose of the report? For 3 people to see it? I mean, I guess I'm asking. I don't mean to be a smart-aleck, but I mean, if you have a report like this, what's required then if instead of the whole board seeing it, you have to bifurcate or do something to send it to the full board? I would assume it's automatic. That's the purpose of the motion.
Could certainly for well, what Director Kanabi is asking is a procedure one, and I don't know.
Bigger one. I mean, that's a bigger question.
Yeah, we should ask the CEO or our legal team. But when we get a report in committee and we receive and file it, does that mean it doesn't go to the full board after that? Correct.
Part of the procedures are that it does not. It certainly could, but the procedures, you know, to date have always been receive and file.
We could move it to the board.
The board. I mean, I just think it's, you know, it's a good report, so it should go there. I mean, it's. Maybe we'll look at that procedurally.
It's always at our discretion to do that as a committee. So,
I don't think I ever realized it just never sees a light of day again.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll bring more of those in then.
We'll add to the agenda at a regular board meeting. Well, I want to thank staff. I know this is important to the mayor and the city of Los Angeles, and so we want to thank you for your attention to this. But Mr. Najarian does raise some additional issues on the TAP program. He has attached that matrix in the back that he hopes we could get that additional and correct information for the TAP program. And I would also suggest you speak to his staff between now and then to see what additional information we may need for the full board report.
Well, we can assure him the TAP card will be good on the 710 extension.
Yeah.
Okay. He's making that an amendment to the report. So any other questions or comments on this? Okay, we're going to – the motion by Kanabi, seconded by
– Public comment.
I didn't see this item here. Okay. 56, John Walsh.
I can't believe, Don, that Kanabi sounds exactly like me. Wakes up in the morning,
two committees in his, what's going
looks
on
in his bathroom mirror and sees my face. I mean, it's alarming. What's happening? HollywoodHighlands.org or just Google at Walsh Confidential. And instantly notice the bus riders even don't show up anymore when they got leaned on by the mayor, because the mayor has a way of cutting their money. They get these grants but from back east, and he's leaning on them. You see, none of them show up here anymore. And remember what they're interested in. They own cars. Ask bus riders how many of them own cars. Eric owns a Cadillac. Have you ever seen it? It's a nice Cadillac. HollywoodHighlands.org. And not that they were good as far as the only reason you canceled all of the service cuts is that we lobbied for December. The New York Times, Adam Nagorny did a story in the New York Times about cutting the service. Once you saw the story in the New York Times, you pulled back. They were good at that, but ultimately, the Bus Riders Union, but ultimately I was the one who went to the New York Times. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you very much. There's a motion by Director Kanabi, seconded by Ridley Thomas, to move the full report as amended by the Najarian motion to the full board. Okay.
So ordered. Thank you very much. Let's go to the top of the agenda now, if it's okay with my colleagues, and we'll start with item 50. We have item 50, 51, 57, 58, and 59 remaining.
51, they provided the report last month.
Okay, we'll receive that. 50?
50L, Commander Jordan. This is a preliminary response to the mayor's review. We each board member was given a copy of the mayor's review. We received several requests for more information or clarification on that, and we're preparing that now. We hope to have it done tomorrow or perhaps Monday morning. But I did want to talk about some of the highlights of that review, and it does involve some of the stuff they've already heard about the contract, so I'll speed through it as quickly as possible. Go ahead, Mike. This is where we're at now, $65 million. It shows where the line deputies and line security assistants are currently at. You can see how many deputies and security assistants are on each line. And like I said, the total cost is $65 million, including support staff, special response deputies. That puts us at about 480 total sheriff's personnel. Next slide. This is the proposed increase. Now, this is just for the sheriff's contract. You saw some bigger numbers because that includes MTA security as well. But with the enhancements of the security contract or the sheriff's contract, including the expo line, it would bring this contract to, this is without the additional staffing brought on by the Kanabe motion, almost $78 million. I believe it would be approximately another $1 million in personnel costs with the Kanabe motion. That would bring us up to approximately a little over 580 personnel. Next slide. Keep going. This is the security deployment. This is where we're at currently. We are asking for an increase for security to do revenue pickup for the expo line, but also to staff the video monitoring center, which I think is critical for moving forward and keeping the system safe. So next slide, Mike. And this is what it would take the security department to a total of about $9.5 million. Go ahead, next slide, Mike. Keep going. This is, I always give you an update on where we're at for crime. Last year, we were a little bit over 1,200 Part 1 crimes. We weren't looking too hot in the summertime here, but as you can see, we're in a downward trend. And if we keep going, this won't be our lowest year, but we're approaching the 1,100 mark, which was our lowest year in the past. Good. Response times, as I talked earlier about response times being one of our critical challenges on the bus side, we monitor these very closely. You can see that we're 10 minutes or less on emergent calls, which is the bottom line. Our average for the year so far is 7.7 minutes. Prior to calls, we want to be 20 minutes or less. We had a little bit of an uptick, and we're at 17.4 for the average. And then our routine calls are basically report calls. We want to be under 30 minutes, and we are under 30 minutes for the year. Next slide. Keep going. This is specific to Expo. You've seen the numbers that we're requesting. I did want to point out two specific things, three things. We wouldn't add most of these staff until the expo line actually starts operating. We would immediately activate some of these items, six deputies, one sergeant for pre-revenue, so we can start doing the testing, the drills, and enforcement along the line so that we can open on time and safely. We're asking for a larger number of security assistants in this deployment, mostly because you have compressed headways coming into 7th and Metro. It shares track with the blue line. The passengers need to be trained to get on and get off as quickly as possible coming into 7th and Metro, and that may be a labor-intensive endeavor, which is why we're asking for additional personnel. We are also asking for 5 motors. You've got a lot of schools, high schools along the expo line. It could present a safety problem, so having the motors will help keep the system safe by educating the public through enforcement.
Just a question on the security assistance. Is that similar to custody assistance? Are they post-trained at all?
They're not post. They go through a 2-week academy. They're unarmed. They're a lowest level employee. So a security assistant is a lot higher paid, has a lot longer training period, and then they work in the custody facilities. These guys mostly are for visibility on the line and doing fare enforcement.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Next slide. Here's the Gateway Complex. Now, I've received a federal or a Homeland Security grant to fund the sworn portion of this, so one sergeant and seven deputies will be offset by a Homeland Security grant for the first 2 years, but we need a dedicated staffing in Union Station. It's been identified as one of the likely targets for transit on the West Coast, and one of the things that came out of a vulnerability study is having law enforcement on the location during your peak hours of operations every day. The monitoring center deputies, which I talked about earlier, are nested in this enhancement. They would monitor the cameras at the Union Station, the Gateway Complex, and throughout the system based on where we wanted them to look based on crime trends and Homeland Security threat vulnerability studies. Next slide. Blue Line and Green Line, as you guys have seen the studies that I've given you, it's self-evident. That's where we have our challenges. That's why I'm asking for additional folks there. These guys would be focused on increasing visibility on the line and just decreasing quality of life and serious crime on the Blue Line and Green Line. Next slide. Special Problems Unit, we did reduce our Special Problems Unit this last fiscal year. We had to pull some guys away from our anti-graffiti effort. We need to refocus on graffiti as it continues to be a problem. I'm also asking for one team leader to work with the Special Problems Unit to expand our volunteer program. We're currently at 40, and in January we're at zero, so it's making progress. I just need staff to manage it. Next slide. Intelligence Policing is a new philosophy that we adopted. It includes a matrix-based deployment and directing folks to work particular areas based on crime trends, so it's a management strategy. Next slide. This is an example of a matrix. I know it's hard to read, but each unit are given instructions on where they need to be based on crime trends. They do mobile random foot patrols, means they'll operate in a particular area, doing foot patrol on the line and at train stations. They'll do fixed posts at a particular train station, given the crime trends there, and they'll ride the trains in their given area for a particular amount of time to increase visibility and decrease quality of life crimes that are occurring on the train. This happens on all of our shifts now. We just implemented an early morning matrix this week. Next slide. Here are the many agencies that we work with over the years in keeping the system safe. We go through multiple jurisdictions. Many times we have common problems, and when we do, we reach out to the local jurisdiction, or they reach out to us, and we welcome their participation with us in keeping the system safe. And I encourage every chance I get each chief of police to take ownership over the transit property or facilities in their city, and many of them do. Next slide. These are many of the agencies we worked with on our anti-graffiti program. All of them have a robust anti-graffiti program. Some of them include grants that we managed for them, and we've been very successful in including them in our partnership to fight graffiti. The best way in dealing with graffiti is getting more people involved in fighting it. Next slide. This is the Orange Line expansion. This was asked for by the mayor. This is real tentative. We need to look at what the challenges are along the Canoga Line extension. It includes one overhead item, a detective. But this may change as time, but I wanted to be responsive to the mayor and give him at least an idea of what we were thinking about. Next slide. The Monitoring Center, here are some of the key technology enhancements that the mayor asked us about. Now, this one, we've already got the monitor setting going. We've received a $1.3 million transit grant that we'll fund soon so that we can integrate camera systems and look for ways to make our camera systems smarter. You know, you can't monitor 400 cameras just by watching them. You need some way to alert the monitor to a particular particular problem on the system. So you need to make cameras smarter. So we're looking for using auditory sensory alarms or behavioral and facial recognition as a possibility or a possible way of doing that. Next slide. As I've already talked about the automated license plate reader program, this just gives you some numbers, 33 parking lots and parking structures for Metro, over 200 cameras for Phase 1. I've already received funding for other phases that will come. This should be done, as you see, by June 2013, so this is coming fast. Next slide. This one's critical. The mayor had asked about partnerships with local agencies. This is something that I pushed a couple years ago, and it's finally coming to fruition. We should be done in the next 12 months. And that's linking LAPD's Emergency Operations Center and the Sheriff's Emergency Operations Center to our camera systems. The idea behind this is to allow the city or the county EOCs to have immediate situational awareness to any problem that is happening on the transit system. We have many more technology projects. I just wanted to highlight three of these. And hopefully we'll get you an updated response for the mayor to add clarity to some of the stuff that we're doing. I think that concludes my report. Any questions? Sorry, I didn't. Here's some recommendations that we're moving forward on. Is public awareness. We need to teach our public on how to be good witnesses, how to avoid being victims, increase signage on the system. We don't have sufficient signs. But also we're developing a transit watch website to teach people how to be good witnesses directly. It'll actually have little training vignettes. And here are some of the other recommendations for employees. We need to embrace a mindset of security here for Metro. We need to get all of our employees involved. Then it teaches them how to be a good witness and set the tone that they have to call. When they see something, they need to say something. They can't just leave it up to the security part of Metro. It needs to be all of our responsibility. All of them are getting deviation assessment and response training, which is behavioral detection stuff, training that is given in Israel and London, will be soon given to all Metro employees. And here are some of the other recommendations that also went to the mayor. Workstations on the line, decentralized reporting locations, cell phone coverage in the subways, additional closed-circuit televisions in the parking lots, particularly along the Green Line. The big one is sentencing enhancements. I believe that if you commit a violent crime on the transit system, you ought to get a year or two onto your sentence, and this would send a message to our most violent criminals that do wander onto our system. And, of course, approval of the sheriff's contract. Okay, I'm sorry. That concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Questions?
No, I mean, that last slide, I mean, there's a couple of those that I'm sort of surprised they're on there that are already in progress.
Some of them are in progress, and we'll give you an update as to where they're at in the process. Okay.
A couple of them are familiar issues.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Public comment, John Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, or just Google Walsh Confidential. Yeah, the place you're most likely to be the victim of a crime is the 33 parking lots. That's the no man's land. But we'd like to point out we greatly appreciate Metro Security. They're doing the officers are doing a fantastic job. A couple of years ago, there was a fire near one of the stations, and one of your officers saved a family that were sleeping in the middle of the night. Increase Metro Security by $9.5 million, at least $9.5 million. Very good. We're in good hands with Metro Security. Thank you.
Thank you for your brevity. Thank you. Next item. This item will be received. Thank you. Next item.
57.
Yes, 57. Yeah.
This is actually a good news story. I'll be joined at the table by Ruman Elrakhan and Elizabeth Carter. We wanted to give the committee some information in the form of an oral report on what we've been doing over the last year to make contracted bus service actually part of the Metro brand.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to point out that we haven't paid as much attention to this service as in the past as we should have. This marks a new level of attention and reporting to the board as to our contract bus service.
Thank you, Patty. Good afternoon, directors. I'm just going to give you an oversight of what we're doing with contract services. We have a total of 18 bus lines that are contracted to three different regions, the north being by MV, Veolia, with four lines and 98 operators. We have the South Region with 7 lines, 95 operators, and 40 buses, and the E. And the East with 7 lines also. Also, we have a service, 160 buses, and those include the 12 Dodgers Express buses. And I have some numbers for the Dodger season from 2010 and 2011. Actually, we had a decrease, correct, of about 5,800, and the cost was $226,673 for the service of this year. Next one is some of the numbers that we have compared to when we FY09 to FY11. The number of boardings increased by 3%. The wheelchair boardings, actually, it's a big increase of 58% from FY09. The revenue service hours decreased 3%, and the operating costs increased 6%. The number of complaints from FY09 decreased by 32%, and the boarding per revenue service hours decreased by 6%. Operating costs per boarding increased by 3% at 282. And the complaints, and this is one of the things that we're really working on, has decreased by 34%. Even though the numbers are high per 100,000 boardings, we're still working on getting it better for the contract service lines. Some of the other things, the next steps that we're going to be taking, is we're going to be installing the ATMS system on all buses to give us better information. We are completing upgrades on 64 buses and Orion buses that are dedicated to the South region, MV. Training the maintenance departments from those contract service companies to make sure that they are in compliance.
That's just amazing to see that you're training contractor maintenance. I assume that'd be automatic, but is there a protocol that there are standards in?
In maintaining the ATMS system.
Certify their maintenance people or no?
That's part of the contract, Liz.
Certain requirements that we require them to have technicians that are dedicated to repairing the universal fare system as well as the automated transportation.
Do we certify that they're trained? Just because we tell them doesn't mean.
And historically, contract services has had to learn the systems, the technical systems on their own. We are now working with our departments, our ATMS departments, our UFS departments to ensure that our contract maintenance staff are receiving the same level of training as Metro directly operated maintenance staff, so the equipment is being maintained consistently. And there are preventive maintenance procedures that we have to follow the same as with directly operated.
Basically, this is tough love at this point.
Okay, and the other thing that we're actually doing is with the automation of the ATMS is making sure that we capture all the wheelchair boardings and alightings and any other things with the wheelchair. We also have customer and service improvements, which we want to make sure that we are consistent what we Metro service, and that's providing the top 10 operators with most complaints, most incidents, so that we can have a plan for them to fix the problem. We also have scheduling, vehicle operations, and bus operations control assisting us with the service, and like us, like Metro, they are also adhere to the 85% that we are currently going into the next fiscal year. The vehicle operations are monitoring the in-service on-time performance by monitoring the operators running hot or not leaving the terminals on time, with BLC monitoring the same issues. We also have maintenance, our maintenance department conducting Metro quality assurances. That team is conducting simulated CHV inspections on a quarterly basis, and this will assist us to ensure that they're in compliance. And we also have, like Metro is, the monthly cleanliness inspections that we conduct with our personnel. And that concludes the report.
Any questions, Mr. Knabe?
Oh, sir, I answered all mine.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the report. This is a file item. We'll go ahead and file this item. We have. Oh, that's right. Mr. Walsh, public comment. Mr. Walsh. Thank you.
The last thing on earth I'd say is cut the bus service on these lines. These lines were Richard Reardon. I was around for the full 8 years. I mean, he was going to turn the whole system, privatize the whole system. These are a few lines that are left from the privatization scheme of Richard Reardon. I'm telling you right now, the service is primitive. The Dodgers should be paying the full amount. They should be paying the $250,000, not us. The Irishman who owns it and his wife, they should be paying that money, not us. And look at I hate to say this, but look at the scant ridership. If they were your lines, they all would have been canceled. You got up here and said, oh, these lines don't have enough people, passengers per hour, let's off with their head. You've killed dozens of lines that aren't privatized because of low ridership. Now, the answer to that is not kill these lines. The answer to that is that we should have the ridership isn't the point. Lower ridership isn't the point. HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you. And as the CEO mentioned, there will be some additional attention paid to these contract lines. And at the end of the day, some of these buses that have or systems that have the Metro logo on them, people don't know whether they're ours or contracted.
Correct.
And it's our responsibility not only that we contract with them, but obviously for public relations purposes, they think they're ours anyway. So we might as well not only provide the good public service, but to make sure that we continue to do the same type of oversight we do on our own lines as we do with these. So thank you. Next item is 58, I believe. Metro Bus Service Monitoring Program.
The independent evaluator, John Hilmer, will provide that.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, good afternoon.
Yeah.
My name is John Hilmer. I'm director of Metro Service Councils, as well as been appointed as the internal compliance manager. It's been my pleasure to work with the service councils for the past year and a half. The service councils members are outstanding individuals who are local community leaders as well as public transit users. In fact, many of them use public transit as their primary means of transportation. The primary mission of the service councils is to hear from service planning change proposals, to conduct public hearings, listen to our customers, and to decide whether the proposed changes should be implemented, modified, or denied. Transit users, the service council members are quite aware that there are many elements that make up a quality transit service. And as such, we report to the councils on a monthly basis service quality measures that include on-time performance, customer complaint rates, fleet reliability, cleanliness of the buses, and accident rates. We also report on ridership levels. This data is provided to the service councils for both the system average and for the bus service that operates within their region. There's a sample of that that's included in your report today. We will be expanding that significantly in the coming months. We will add measures in response to the adopted mayor's motion to track on ADA issues such as pass-ups or equipment issues, also the percentage of our passengers who may be standing and the percent of bus trips that may be over our schedule loading standards. Keep in mind that we schedule for standees. Our loading standard is 1.3, which compared to other major transit properties in the United States is quite low. So we will have standees. We do schedule for them. One other major element that we will be tracking on is the bus station cleanliness. We've identified 20 major bus stations and their associated park and ride lots, if there is one associated with that. We will be evaluating these stations on a monthly basis. We will be looking for things not only about the cleanliness of the station, but the graffiti, the equipment condition, elevators, escalators, landscaping, parking lots, the striping of the lots, and the conditions. Then finally, we will be conducting an expansion of our customer surveys. Presently, we survey our customers and all of our bus lines on an annual basis. We will be expanding that to run a slightly smaller version of that on a quarterly basis. we will be targeting between 1,500 and 2,000 completed surveys. We will be asking the customers things such as how far they had to walk to get to their first bus stop, how long they waited for the stop, as well as the more standard questions of if they've been passed up by a bus in the last month, the general feeling of the cleanliness and security on that bus. We will be reporting back to the service councils with these expanded measures on a monthly basis. In addition, I will be reporting to the board staff on a monthly basis, and then coming back to the board on a quarterly basis with a complete report. I'm targeting right now February of next year for our first quarterly report. And with that, Mr. Chair, that ends my report. Happy to take any questions.
Director Kanabe?
Sir.
No questions. Thank you for your report. And so the new internal compliance manager has been on the job how long?
Well, actually, I've been with Metro for about 36 years, from a bus operator to a regional manager. And I've been the internal compliance officer for about a month and a half.
Okay, so it's your responsibility now to oversee these. So they will go performance data will go to the service councils and to the operations committee every what?
Every month we will take a report to our service councils as well as brief the board staff.
With board staff.
I'll come back on a quarterly basis to the operations committee beginning in February.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Last item, 59, Chief Executive. Mr. Walsh.
Waived.
And we will receive this item. Last item 59, Chief Executive Officer Report.
Mr. Chair, one of the report, I was in Washington the other day, met with 8 congressional offices, discussed America Fast Forward, the subway, Crenshaw Airport report, the downtown commuter on Losan. Continuing on the 405, some nighttime closures of the Skirball Bridge beginning Thursday for the relocation of utilities. There are some upcoming meetings with the Crenshaw LX Leadership Councils on October 22 and 29. I do want to note that former Director Larry Zarian passed away just recently. He served on the board for quite some time back in the 90s and most recently served on the California Transportation Commission. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And without objection, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.